The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
And I hope you learn to make it on your own. And if you love yourself, just know you'll never be alone. I hope that you get everything you want and that you chose. I hope that's the realest thing that you ever know. Hope you get the pretty girls, it's pretty and everything. $1 million careers, have $1 million dreams. And when you get it on, just remember one thing. Remember one thing. One man could change the world. One man could change the world.
My grandma told me if you write your name in stone, you'll never get the white out. I grinded out that black hole, then performed up at the White House, standing next to Jim Carrey. We traded stories, then laughed. I said, you're not the only one I know got rich wearing masks. Where I'm from, I swear they broke. They need way more than the cast. We need more than what you have, and then we need more than that. But how I'm supposed to say I'm tired if that girl from West Virginia came up in conditions that I couldn't survive? Went to war, came back alive. On top of that, became a female black captain. When being black, you had the extra, extra try. Way before James Brown made us proud. She bought a crib on the same street as Marvin Gaye, right there on how to drive. And she taught me how to drive. And she raised the kids, then the kids' kids. And she did it right. Taught me how to love, taught me not to cry. When I die, I hope you teach me how to fly. All my life, you've been that angel in disguise. And I
hope you learn to make it on your own. And if you love yourself, just know you'll never be alone. I hope that you get everything you want and that you chose. I hope that it's the realest thing that you ever know. Hope you get the pretty girls, it's pretty at everything. $1 million creams, have $1 million dreams. When you get it all, just remember one thing. Remember one thing, that one man can change the world.
Welcome to Tone and Tenor, a show that explores current issues of the day and listens to bipartisan voices of the people. We want to hear from you with your phone calls and on social media. Now, here are the hosts of Tone and Tenor.
Welcome to the Tone and Tenor show, bipartisan voices of the people. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask questions. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Today, our topic is COVID-19, community challenges and changes, national, regional, and local. Well, Pat, we're into another week of, you know, we did several weeks of Women's History Month, and this is the last week of that. Still 31 days, 28 for Black History Month. You know, I'm gonna go to that, you know, because that's history.
I understand.
But with all due respect, you know, we're here, as we always do. We start off with, you know, what's happening with COVID.
The Southerners say COVID. I was COVID, you know, to Miss Smith the other day. She was like, "Boy, you got the COVID."
But the breaking news from the president's press conference that he hit the 100 million shots in an arm. That's 100 million shots in an arm, not 100 million people totally vaccinated. And now he's changed the number, up the number to 200 million.
Yeah,
by May 1st.
Oh, May 1st? I thought it was by the summer. Okay.
By May 1st.
That's pretty adventurous,
being aggressive, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, there are still, what's interesting, I read a report, there are vaccines that have been unused that are still being discarded.
Yeah, it's about several that have gone to waste.
Yeah, so.
I got some inside information on that one, but I can't disclose. Yeah,
we're not going to say how or where they actually be discarded too, but allegedly, let's use the word allegedly being discarded.
Hashtag allegedly, yeah. let's run through these numbers real quick. So we'll start from, I guess, internationally down. Coronavirus numbers, 126 million plus cases, 2.7 million deaths, over 101 million recovered, right? Nobody ever talks about the recovery numbers.
Right, right, right.
And that's according to the Worldometer and CNN. The COVID tracker for the CDC, according to them, 29 million cases, and that's with plus 65,000 new cases. In the last 7 days, over 400,000, and roughly.
Yeah, I had his Wheaties this morning.
Nah, I was tongue-tied and a little kind of, I didn't expect it to be this warm today. Yeah, it's warm today, folks. I don't know what's going on here. It's a short sleep day for y'all that can see us on social media. But yeah, a little under half a million. Like, so, I mean, it's interesting. So that's just nationally. And regionally for the state is 100,000 cases. No, million cases. Sorry, million cases. 4 million negative. And 91% of those are recovered. Hmm. You know, we always like to talk about the recovery numbers.
Yeah. So, but on the sad note is that, you know, since Pat mentioned this, it's nice out. You know, folks have ventured out to various events.
More virus here in the U.S. and with vaccinations.
Various events throughout the country. And there's 15 states whose COVID numbers could see a resurgent. The country's national daily case average continues to fall about 32.5% over the last month. Nearly a third of all the states have seen their average numbers of cases at least rise by 10%. So these states that are in this upswing would be Alaska, Connecticut, Delaware, which is right down 30 miles down the road from where we broadcast from, Idaho, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Oregon, and West Virginia. And as you already know, Florida and Texas were already in that group. So you were looking at possible upswings, as well as the new viruses or coming into play. If you really look at it, I think it was Rome. Some of the foreign countries shut back down for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so folks, this is not over. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you hear, you know, I think sometimes news media do an injustice by saying, you know, showing that we're going to open up. Even the president, when he said, had this thing that we're going to say by July 4th, people could gather in small groups. Now, we know that people on July 4th are not going to gather in a small group, especially since a year ago they did not experience their fireworks and the parties. So let's be realistic and let's be safe out there. You know, whether you choose to have the vaccine or not, be safe. Practice the 6 feet. Wear your mask. This is not over, regardless of what elected officials that have been working throughout this pandemic and being paid while others have been suffering, what they say. Remember, this is not over. So we want to make sure that you understand that and listen to what the CDC has to say, what your health departments, those cities and those counties throughout the country that have health departments. There is a shortage. The vaccines are coming in, but they can't get it to the people. You know, again, you know, I'd like to always say to the Black Doctors Consortium, who really went, led the way in Philadelphia, and say thank you to them for what they have done. And now they're coming out with a mobile way to get folks vaccinated that cannot leave their houses. Because if you think about it, mm-hmm. folks that are immobile have no way of getting to or standing in a line, you know, and some don't even have the ability to use a computer for which you have to sign up for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so my hat's off again to the Black doctors that used, remember what I'm saying, used their own money in the beginning to try to help the community that looked like them.
Yep, with again, Black women and leading the way.
Yep, and again,
surprise,
Black
surprise.
History Month, Black women leading the way again. You know, and now, and I can't speak for anywhere else, but here in the city of Philadelphia, these elected officials now want to jump on the bandwagon and say, look what I've done. In the beginning, you did nothing. Remember, 6ABC, Good Morning America, all of those folks, they spent their own money. But when the little 21-year-old or whatever that was supposed to be setting this up at the convention center and all of that here in Philadelphia, and then changed from nonprofit to profit, and then the assistant deputy health secretary who was of color fell on the sword because the secretary of health here in Philadelphia says he was not involved in the discussions. So she lost her job. Then the young guy that had the contract lost the contract. And then after the so-called investigation, they said they couldn't find that he did anything wrong.
Well, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just somebody homie, that's all.
Right.
You know, cronyism is real.
So with that said,
it's worse than nepotism sometimes.
With that said, you know, we continue to look at these states, look at what's going on, and be mindful that some states are hitting a plateau. So that's not good and that's not bad. Because when you hit a plateau, you can either rise or you can fall. So that makes it more important for you to be mindful of your surroundings. Be mindful because as Pat said earlier, it's a beautiful day outside in the city of Philadelphia. So you know there's going to be a lot of folks outside. You know they're not going to have the mask on, and you know they're going to be up top of each other, so to speak, and not practicing. You know, plus there are restaurants opening back up. People are running to make their arrangements for trips. There will not be any cruises, at least till November 1st, out of the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot going on, and I get it. I mean, Pat, I get it. Staying in the house, going from work to, well, work is in the house.
Yeah,
nowadays.
Some situations you can't leave the bedroom to the dining room.
You can't leave, and things. You know, you're constrained. You're under constraints, but you also have to use common sense too.
Mm, common sense is not that common, but. Oh man, this is just.
So you know, with that said, those of you that you know, this goes along with it. COVID-19, as we know, the Rescue Act was passed. So some of you are out there worried about, talking about all over social media, where my STEMI, where's my, you know, so you can run down and buy them new sneakers, about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pairs. But remember, you still got to pay that rent.
Well, I mean, just bills in general. But, so these bills existed prior to COVID. So
$37 million has been released in the past 2 days. So there'll be some more checks or deposits being made for those of you that are eligible for your stimulus check. But use it wisely. Do what's right. And because at the end of the day, when all is said and done, when those cutoff, shutoff notices come, you're only going to have about 30 days.
Well, I'll take it a step further. If you're not going to do it, at least invest. Like, remember, y'all, there's three types of income. There's earned income from having to physically go to work, right? Then you have passive income, right? And like dividends and so on and so forth. So, I mean, worst case scenario, if you're not going to do the right thing, I mean, at least make sure your buddy's making money. And I'm not a financial expert, but I do have some experience in the field, you know, with helping people with budgets and things of that nature. But at the very least, I'm going to say that out loud because a lot of people aren't even thinking that far, to your point about going to buy stuff, because we've literally seen people out in front of stores.
We have pictures. Not we've seen. We got the pictures.
We do. But I don't want to put any business on black, because it's not necessarily the business's fault, right? People are doing what they're trained to do. Yeah. Which is consume.
And they use the psychological marketing, because you listen to the car dealerships. Oh, yeah. Bring your stimulus check to us and we'll can make a deal.
Or bring your last pay stub and all that nonsense.
All of that. So it's all of it. All it's doing is, you know, we hear all this create generational wealth. All that's going to do is create more generational debt.
Yeah. Don't leave your kids and your grandkids with nothing, because I promise you, you will be forgotten.
And with all the murders and killings, you know, we have the new insurance policy called GoFundMe. Or pass the hat.
That is not an insurance policy.
That's not the way to do it. You know, when, I don't know about you, Pat, because, you know, I'm only a few years younger than you. You know, our parents made sure that when we were younger, there were insurance policies.
Yeah, insurance, savings bonds, the passbooks.
You know, and then once
it's actually a really good way to save, because you can't have access to it.
Of age. Mm. Then they passed them on to you so that you, and then it was up to you to continue the wealth building. I mean, or do whatever you want, and then you were SOL if you didn't save it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a caveat to that, though, because I think what happens is, and I speak to my buddy Isaac about this often, and even like in trainings, like it's like defense. Like, people don't play any defense. Like, we learn offense, right? Which is, like I said, those are the three ways you make money, but usually 80% of the time, 90% of the country makes their money off of earned income. Mm-hmm. But people don't play any defense. Like, savings is not going to get you there.
Well, think about it. Everybody likes sports. Mm-hmm. What do you have? Offense and defense.
Yeah.
No matter what sport it is, mm-hmm. Even if it's an individual sport, someone's thinking the offense and defense.
Yeah. Offense wants to see. Listen. Offense fills seats, but defenses win championships. And the same, apply that same science to your finances. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not how much money you make, it's about how much money you keep. And then after you keep the money, how much money can you multiply? Or do you multiply? Yeah. So, I don't know.
You know, let's take a break right now so that I thought we were going to take this break right now, but we don't have our engineer. Because he's doing it. But, you know, because I was going to think, but we take the break and then we move into the nitty gritty of what's happening around the country, around the region, because a lot has happened, you know, from during the week around the country, at the border, in Atlanta, the president's press conference. In the region, here in Philadelphia, you know, the eviction signs have been posted for the homeless again. Again. So we want to talk about those things and how they compare and why HHS can find money to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So, Vito, let's take a break and then we'll come back and we're going to take a break now, and then we're going to come back to the
meat, the potatoes.
Yeah. With first, we'll have the Jacqueline Means and Governor Carney thing first. Right?
Yeah, we'll be back.
My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Yeah.
intuition is telling me there'll be better days.
Life is tough.
Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. I sit in silence and find whenever I meditate. My fears alleviate, my tears evaporate. My faith don't deviate, ideas don't have a date. But see, I'm growing and getting stronger with every breath, bringing me closer to heaven's doors with every step. As we speak, I'm at peace, no longer scared to die. Most don't believe in God, and so they terrified. It's either that or they be fearing they gon' go to hell. Asking the Father for forgiveness got them overwhelmed. As if he's spiteful, like them white folks that control the jail. See, I believe if God is really never judge a man, because he knows us all and therefore he would understand. The ignorance to make him take his brother life, the bitterness and pain that got him beating on his wife. Like, I know you desperate for a change, let the pen glide. But the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from the cemeteries unchanged. I see men cry. But the only real change come from inside. The only real change come from inside. My chosen religion, Jesus peace, frozen from sinning. Doing dirt, hoping to God, he know my intentions. To see a million before I see a casket. I got a baby on the way, no, he gon' be a bastard. I'm living fast like I'm in a drag race. How that cash taste? When I was a senior, I was
balling. Well, first up, we have Jackie Means, the STEM queen.
Thank you, Governor Carney. Now, I do want to start off by saying that this proclamation has been a long time coming. Now, when I was just 12 years old and founded the Wilmington Urban STEM Initiative, I never in a million years thought that I would have the impact that I've been able to have. Now, this impact has reached over 5,000 young girls and counting, but what I've done would not be possible without the support of what I like to call my village. Now, this village includes my mentors, my role models, my friends, many of whom are on this call today, including Ms. Jennifer, Dr. Terry Quinn Gray, Ms. Velda Jones Potter, and so many others, including Ms. Ann and Mr. Randy from DFSME. Now, I am so grateful that I've been able to have these incredible mentors, friends, and role models in my life to have a positive impact on me, so I could in turn take that impact and use it to do good in my community. Now, through the Wilmington Urban STEM Initiative, I've encouraged and impacted over 5,000 young girls, like I mentioned earlier, but I'm truly grateful that I get to be here in the great state of Delaware, where this impact can be felt the most. At my very first event, I had the support of Dr. Terry, Ms. Velda, Lieutenant Governor, Ms. Jennifer from donating STEM books, and many other people. Like I said, it truly does take a village. I couldn't have done it without the support from everybody. I'm so thankful that my mentors and role models came through once again and supported me when I had the idea to proclaim a day to celebrate the accomplishments of women and girls in STEM. Now, this day is incredibly special because it's during Women's History Month, where we already celebrate the accomplishments of women nationwide. But I decided that we need a special day here in our great state to celebrate our young women and girls. I like to call them STEMistas here in our great state of Delaware. Women like Ms. Velda, as well as Dr. Trey Quinn Gray, are women who have paved the way for young women and girls after them, like myself, to also have a path and a career in STEM. For example, Ms. Velda was the very first African-American woman to graduate from the University of Delaware with a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering. She is on this call today and she is living history. While being able to follow after her inspires me and inspires the girls who are younger than me. Thank you to everyone who believed in not only me, but my mission to bring fun STEM education to the young girls here in our state of Delaware.
Jackie, thank you for your great work in promoting STEM education and STEM involvement for girls in our state. I do have this proclamation in observance of Women and Girls in STEM Day that Jackie talked so well about earlier on. And I'm going to read part of it. It says, whereas science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, play a vital role in maintaining our innovative culture and growth of our economy here in Delaware. And whereas building a stronger STEM citizenry can be accomplished by connecting education, community mentorship, and business development for tomorrow's workforce. And whereas throughout the month of March, we celebrate and honor the contributions and accomplishments of women across our state and nation. And whereas women make up, as the Lieutenant Governor said, almost half of all jobs in the US economy, but they only hold less than 30% of STEM jobs. And whereas girls have few role models to inspire other than those who've joined us, their interest in these fields, seeing limited examples of female STEM professionals and even fewer role models of minority women in STEM, whereas Women and Girls in STEM Day encourages these mentorships and examples, the examples of our leaders here, and honors all the women and girls who are making changes in the field of STEM. Now, therefore, we, John Carney, Governor, Bethany Hall Long, Lieutenant Governor, do hereby declare March 24th, 2021, as Women and Girls in STEM Day in the state of Delaware, and urge all citizens to celebrate the work and contributions of women and girls in the STEM community and economy. We encourage everyone to learn and understand the value and role that science, technology, engineering, and math play in our daily lives. The Lieutenant Governor has already signed it, and now so have I. We do have a Women and Girls in STEM Day in the state of Delaware. Thank you all for your inspiration.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
And our topic today is community challenges and changes nationally, regionally, and locally. What we just heard was Governor Carney of the first state of Delaware declaring March 24th as Women and Girls STEM Day. And this was pushed by one of our own, and we like to call her our own, Miss Jacqueline Means, who at 18 years old has probably accomplished more than some folks at 60, 70 years old. And she's still making headlines and making giving back. She started her initiative at 12 years old. And we don't hear a whole lot about it, but if you turn on, she's known as the STEM Queen. She's Miss Delaware, Miss America, outstanding team for the state of Delaware. You've seen her on almost all national news. She developed a makeup line with, I believe it was Ultra. So here's a young lady trying to make a difference, and she wants to be a neurosurgeon, I believe, and she's attending the University of Delaware. So we went hats off to her, the state of Delaware, and all the women in Delaware that are trying to make a difference and across the country in the field of STEM, and those that have garnered mentors. As Pat and I always have this discussion, you can't be anywhere without somebody working with you and taking care of those basic needs mm-hmm. that you need in the home. So there are folks out there. So, you know, anybody interested, you could find Jacqueline Means on social media, Jacqueline STEM Queen Means, find out more about her, you know. And I think that's a good way for us to end our Women's Month celebration by somebody that is really part of this team. And mm-hmm. we've been following since I met her at Steve Harvey's event
a few years ago.
Yeah, in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a testament to, you know, when you activate somebody or activate a young person, because, you know, what you think about, you bring about, and you're not successful unless you have successors. You know, how she mentioned the host of, you know, people that have poured into her, you know, it was probably too numerous for her to speak on. But again, you're not successful unless you have successors. I'm going to say it again. Mm. You know, those who do not pass the torch are doomed to be burnt by it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I remember when she was doing different events or things, I would always make sure we would ping the folks at Disney World where I met her, and Steve Harvey, and all of those. We would always ping them, and to the point where she was actually invited back to Disney World and, mm-hmm. and on the Steve Harvey Good Morning America, I believe it was Good Morning America, Today Show. You know, she even had her own show. Mm. You know, so good things happen when, as Pat said, you have folks and you have successors. Mm. And, you know, and she said that, and even the governor acknowledged that enough is not being done. You know, it's good when a politician acknowledges and makes that first move, makes the move, not just talk the talk, but begin to walk the walk. Absolutely. It's also good that his lieutenant governor was in the medical field anyway, so she she got it.
it helps, but again, that's
she got it.
Again, the right people at the right time with the right attitude, under the right conditions, yield the right results. With that said,
you probably couldn't say that four times fast.
Well, listen, as long as the bar is caught, somebody caught it.
Absolutely, I did.
But they're actually we're not completely done, because I do want to give credit to Georgia State House Representative Cannon, who's of the 58th district in Georgia. Republican Governor Brian Kemp has signed an overwhelmingly sweeping elections bill. Civil rights groups are in uproar, and they are currently blasting it as the worst voter suppression legislation in history since the Jim Crow era. Since the Jim Crow era.
Not Jim Eagle.
Not Jimmy Choo. Jim Crow.
Well, you know, that was mentioned, you know, I was being facetious, but that was mentioned by President Biden.
We'll get to him. But the bill, and it's, I guess a brief overview. The bill grants broad power to state officials to take control of election management from local and county level election boards. That's just crazy. It also adds new voter ID requirements. They're pretty severe. Limits mailbox drop-offs, rejects ballot cast in the wrong precinct, allows conservative activists to challenge the eligibility of an unlimited number of voters. This is absolute
horse.
This is horse manure.
Ludicrous.
One provision would even make it a felony to hand out food and water, right? So it'd be a crime to give somebody water, because y'all know it's hot in Georgia, right? Really, we do. Okay. Anyway, this legislation sailed through both chambers. Do you know why it sailed through both chambers? Y'all want to know why? This is the stuff that me and Art Randall are always discussing with you guys. The House has 180 members. This is the Georgia State House. 180 members. 103 of them are Republican. The State Senate, 34 are Republican. Now, that has nothing to do. Now, this is not even being Republican. This is just being just ridiculous, right? It has nothing to do with being a Republican or a Democrat. But this is just bad, reactive legislation, which is something I've been talking about since I've been on this show, right? This is reactive legislation at its worst. I mean, at its worst. But back to, the Sister Cannon, who, the state rep who basically stood up for the whole state. You know, she went and knocked on the governor's door, because it was actually a private meeting with the six other white men that signed
the bill.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not usually what happens when a governor signs a bill. They're usually surrounded by, lieutenant governor, people that agreed with the bill. So it was six people. So it was basically a private meeting, right? People, justice and freedom dies in darkness.
And for her activism to say no to this, she was arrested.
Oh yeah, she was arrested by
handcuffed.
Handcuffed by two state troopers. And I saw the video. They literally dragged her.
Unfortunately, one of them looked like her.
Yeah, and she identified who she was, and they dragged her out of there.
This sets precedence for other states.
Oh yeah, it's part of a larger problem.
That's just a small piece of the pie. You know, my favorite line: "Stay woke." Stay woke, and you put those numbers out there. We've got primaries coming up. We got 2022 coming up, setting the stage. And look, let's not get it twisted, because Republicans will do what they need to do to win. Democrats will do what they need to do to win.
Yeah, but this is beyond being Republican or Democrat. This is nonsense.
This is cutting off the people's ability to vote.
You know, because you're mad because you lost. Like, this is part of a larger issue, right? So according to CNN, this effort led by GOP-led legislations across the country has, they've put in, I guess, some of the key states, Arizona, Michigan, Florida, in February, 43 states have introduced more than 250 bills of outrageous voting provisions, according to the Bremen Justice Center at New York University.
Well, we may have to go back, because Bremen, they were one of our folks that would come on occasion and break stuff down to us. So we probably have to bring them back in and
absolutely
have them break this down on what it means for these upcoming primaries and upcoming elections of 2022 in certain states across this nation.
Yeah.
You know, but again, you know, we are, you know, you have to remember what former President Trump said. He lost the presidency, but look how many folks that were Republican won throughout the country. That was his argument. How could he lose the presidency, but all of these senators and every state reps, local people win? So when you really think about what's going on in this country, there is still, whether President Biden wants to talk about bringing bipartisanship together, there is still the great divide.
And the hell with all that bipartisan compromise and stuff. Listen, you control the House and the Senate. Stop being a punk. Period. Period. And I said it. I'm going to say it again. You have the House and the Senate. Obama had the House. Stop being a punk. You might not make it anyway. So stop being a punk. Like, do what you got to do now. It's just like with the previous government race where they literally cheated. Like, Kemp had, remember, he was overvoting.
Right.
He was overvoting because unbeknownst to y'all supposed to have y'all first black governor. Debate me, fight me about it. This is the truth. Like, he literally cheated, literally. But again, now they're writing in legislation to cheat even more when they had Louis DeJoy, who got rid of mailboxes and is still trying to put in provisions to further restrict and to gut the post office, which is one of the longest standing.
No one understands. God. How do you increase?
Why is he still in office? Why is he still there?
That's a question my 85-year-old mother asks me every day.
Why is he still there? Like, come on, man. Like,
you okay?
And it, like, he need the money. He a millionaire. He don't need the money. You know what I mean?
But I need my mail.
God. Well, you ain't getting it.
You know, it's interesting.
I'm getting mail now that I got that
was dated,
sent to me in
December.
February, like December, January, February. I just got it like a week or two ago.
But yet and still, mail's going to go up. Service hours are going to get cut back. But they're going to increase delivery hours.
And nobody getting a raise.
How are you going to do that? Let's think about this. If you have nobody working in the facilities to sort the mail, but you're going to increase the delivery hours, what are you going to do? Hold mail? I mean, and you're
going to get him out of there.
You're going to raise stamps again. So, you know, these forever stamps, when you think about it, if you don't buy them in bulk, you're still paying the face value of a stamp.
Get him out of there. And we're going to leave it at that because I don't want to, because I can talk about that for an hour. Get him out of there. Also, this is the 20th anniversary of us being in Afghanistan. Anybody find any weapons of mass destruction? Have you seen any, Vito? No? You, Randall?
I haven't seen that.
But we've been there for 20 years.
I've seen plenty in the United States.
Okay.
Look at
yesterday. That legislation is a weapon of mass destruction.
Look at yesterday. The guy that had the, was it yesterday? Georgia, I believe it was. Yeah, in Georgia. In Georgia, what we were talking about, going into the Publix, if it wasn't for a young man who saw this long gun when he went into the bathroom and then went out and told someone about it, this guy's walking around with a case with long guns, fully loaded revolver.
Yeah. Just like
handguns.
Yeah, just like that idiot in Boulder,
case.
The idiot in Boulder, Colorado.
In a case.
You know he's still alive, right?
How did he get... Well, yeah.
He just got shot in the leg. That's it. But he's still alive. right? But a man selling Lucy's is not alive. A man who was in handcuffs with his foot, with
a
his,
woman, with, a young lady that was in,
not alive.
In a house with a boyfriend,
not alive. Sleep.
Sleep.
Tired from work, not alive. How convenient.
Well, Pat, you're in a roll.
Nah, man, I'm irritated. Like when, because he was so nonchalant in that courtroom. Like, it blew me. Like,
oh no, but like, he will not have his second hearing.
I murdered 10 people in a cop, and I'm still alive.
But as you listened, they already played his defense.
Yeah, mental illness
in the news media before he even got to the courtroom. Think about it. He played his defense in the courtroom before they get into the courtroom. Hey, and check this out. He was in a live courtroom.
Yeah, he was.
You know, hey, Philly.
He had a mask on, though.
Hey, Philly. Atlanta. Down Georgia, they got people in courtrooms. They got him off the street, and they got him in the courtroom. We got people still on the street.
He's still alive.
And he's still alive.
He's still alive.
But they just moved him to solidary confinement because his life was threatened.
I believe that.
Allegedly.
I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that because he wouldn't make it.
Well, I mean, we weren't there, so we have to go by what is said.
You killed 10 people in a cop. Murdered.
Absolutely.
In a supermarket, of all places. Like a place where you think you would be safe.
The other guy was in a supermarket.
I thought it was like a nail salon.
No. Oh, the guy in Georgia was a supermarket.
This is like ridiculous. Supermarket, so now people are going to be afraid to go to the dang supermarket.
Yeah, no, so the one in Atlanta was the spas originally, but the one, Randall, you're talking about, that one was a Publix. It's another supermarket.
Right.
Yeah. I love Publix. Yeah. It's like one of my favorite supermarkets of all time.
The spy was, think about it. He went.
And they're at work.
hey, Vito, think about this. If he had a sex addiction, okay? How many strip clubs, how many book places that he had to pass to get to these spies? Think about it. Again, playing the defense in the media before you get to the courtroom.
Again, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And hey, sick people murder people.
Pat, you want to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take our last break. This is nonsense.
We're going to take a break. Our topic today is community challenges and changes, national, regional, and local.
Meanwhile, another deadly shooting in North Philadelphia. This one happened outside a bar. Police were called to Galaxy Lounge at Germantown Avenue and West Ontario Streets around 1:30 this morning. The man who has not been identified.
I don't know what's going on, but I know that something's wrong. And I know that lately my city has been crazy. It's like every day somebody's gone. And every time I turn around, I hear them gun sounds. Cop signs, man, we need to put the guns down. Everybody wanna be a shooter, scared to fight, so they take a life, ain't no one-on-ones now. All of this killing, I'm like, when will it stop? And it really don't help that we don't get no help from the cops. They hear a shooting in the hood, they get late to the block. Bet they hear an officer down, they get straight to the block. It's crazy. I'm tired of hearing about these missing babies. Stop the killing and let's find all of these missing babies. I wrote this song cause I know just how it feels to lose somebody you love, and that's real. That's why I don't wanna look up. Every time I look up, I can see them pictures hanging on the wall. Talking about my fan, yeah, I'm talking about my dogs. Rest in peace of mom, and I swear I miss them all. I don't wanna look up. Cause when I look up, I can see your face, but I know you ain't there. Won't call your phone, but I know you won't answer. Why'd you had to go, then I swear this ain't fair. And I don't know what it is, but my city needs something.
Welcome back to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our topic today is community challenges and changes, national, regional, and local. You know, that was a very appropriate song because we just left talking about the shootings.
Shout out PMB, Rock.
But when we think about this, Pat, as of a few days ago, there have been over 100 mass shootings in the United States. 100.
Who's doing them? I wonder.
100 mass shootings in the United States. 100. In Philadelphia alone, you know, I don't know why we're bragging, Mr. Mayor, about, and everybody talking about, oh, we're on the road to be the most murders in the history of Philadelphia if we keep going like this.
I don't think it's bright. I think it's a disassociation because it's not something that affects you, right? Like I told you, well, you know this about me. I've lost 6 mentees. 2, right. Well, 5 to gun violence, 1 got stabbed, right? So, you know, and again, I was just their coach or their mentor or like a uncle or a big brother to them. I can't even imagine the perspective of a parent, right? Or the person that was raised. I mean, I had a hand in their upbringing. I was part of the village, right? But I can only imagine being a parent and, you know, you get that call in the morning, 2-3 in the morning, that your kid is gone, right? Or your kid's been shot. Or your grandson or your, you know, has been shot.
Well, you know, maybe, you know, when we think about a mass shooting, you know, for folks that don't really understand, a mass shooting is 4 or more victims or shootings. And the last one was March 22nd in Cleveland, Ohio. It was 2 killed, 2 injured. So that was 4. So when you look at it, 4 or more people shot and or killed in a single incident at the same general time location does not include the shooter. So that gives you a little bit perspective. But I want to talk about something that, you know, that's real close to what I told you earlier, Pat. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with, you know, recently the president did his first press conference. And what really was the meat of the press conference was what was happening at the borders with the immigrants crossing into the United States and the children.
Mm. Which I get it. I understand.
And we understand it. Don't get me wrong. I understand why folks want to leave their countries. But what I don't understand, and maybe some of you elected officials, I know someone told me they didn't like being called an elected official, but you are. You want to be called a politician, but you're an elected official who's a career politician. Help me understand how we can find billions of dollars.
Wait a minute, they said they didn't want to be called elected. You were elected. People voted for you.
You were standing right there. Anyway.
I was out of my mind.
So help me understand, you know, Congressman Evans, some of you around this country, senators, understand how you can find money to house folks. And I'm not going against the kids. Don't twist what I'm saying, people. How you can find money to make phone calls to have folks housed at military bases, but here in the city of Philadelphia, I'm just using Philadelphia example, you're posting signs again, eviction signs for homeless people, and you can't HHS, and you can't find money. We're losing more money than we're finding. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get, what, about $1.8 billion?
We just lost $20 billion.
We're getting about $1.8 billion, I believe, and Congressman Evans here is going to announce how that money is going to be divvied up here. So,
but not even that.
How come we can't find money to help those right here in the United States? We have young people living on the streets day in and day out.
Yeah.
You know, so what's different? Because somebody has a phone number on their wrist, under their hat, and they're sent here, and they're saying, I mean, the president made a joke about it, but they're saying because President Biden is a nice guy and he's in charge, that now we're going to have this big influx.
I keep thinking that.
Of folks. You know, where is all this money coming from? I am glad that he's pushing money into infrastructure, but we have to push money into human beings as well.
Yeah.
If we're going to push money and make it accounted for.
Yeah.
But you also know, that's one of the biggest problems. We get this money in these cities and it's going to the slush funds, my fund, your fund, whatever fund, and there's no accountability. Yeah. And or transparency.
Yeah, but this is the other thing too that I kind of agreed with some of the Republicans about. Lindsey Graham did a ridiculous presentation, but I get what he was trying to do. So the $108 million that we lost from mortgage and rental assistance in Pennsylvania. Remember, y'all, I brought this up earlier this year at the end of last year. I can't remember, but nobody's talking about that. How many times does that happen? When we get, you know, federal dollars that people fight for, people work for, and somebody drops the ball. $108 million. We're not talking about like 10, 5, $108 million. This was back at the end of December.
They know where the money is. But remember here in the city of Philadelphia when, you know, they did that extensive audit, and then the solution was, oh, it was put on the wrong ledger line.
Fired.
You know that?
No, seriously, fired. I mean,
I would be fired. I would be fired if I was still working in investment accounting. I couldn't use that. Oh, I put this in on the wrong because that affected my clients.
Yeah, I mean, if I was still doing payroll in the military, or doing those budgets like demotion, court martial.
But I mean, this is what we have, Pat, and you know we talk about this all the time. You can hire your friends or whatever, but make sure they can do the job, that they are competent enough to do the job.
That's all we ask. You know, that's it.
You know, if they're not competent, don't hire them.
It's crazy.
Don't hire people that are competent to do the job, and then turn around and train folks so that they can learn how to do.
Yeah.
Don't cover it up.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. When people have shortcomings, they want to cover it up with those that don't know a lot less than they do. You know, look, I've been a victim of that, of knowing more than people in my world that I came from that didn't look like me. Trust me. Because I took the initiative to learn. You know, some of this also is on a person's responsibility too. If you don't know, go ask somebody. You can pick up your laptop. Anything you need to know is out there now. We live in a world where you can get the information. We live in an informational world. But make sure when you take that information,
that's not misinformation.
There you go. That you peel it back and make sure and vet it. Just like they vet you when you go to the White House, vet that information before you make it public. Because you can't bring it back.
Yeah, but I wanted to...
go ahead, Pat.
So I was talking to... I was just talking to my therapist. This is an interesting story. So there's something that we need to mention with homelessness, right? So again, there's almost 5,000 homeless people in Philly. I'm going to say this again. Almost 6,000 homeless people. And then on top of that, and you know, there's people that don't know this, which is crazy, especially if you work in politics. But anyway, the other part of that is there's 40,000 vacant properties. 40,000. Like I said before, even if we take a portion and put two or three people in, there's 1,500 properties. You know, that's a quickest way to solve that problem, getting people off the street, but also food insecurity. So throughout the nation, this is according to Phil Abundance. According to Phil Abundance, there are people, almost 26% of people are relying on their food stamps or federal supplemental nutrition assistance program, SNAP benefits. 12% or more, and this I think this is prior to the pandemic, were food insecure. 12%, right? so also unhealthy choices. Now, in Philadelphia, in certain areas, that's 21%. And in some places in Philadelphia, as high as 30%. 30%. And then not even just to add the mental illness piece. So a lot of the reason why some people are home, and this is a report from 2017 from Drexel University, right? Got 1 minute. All right. So, you know, household food insecurity in 2016 was 23%. Child food insecurity was 12%. Right? This is not me talking. This is the numbers. It's not up for debate. Right? It's just, it's not. And then just to add mental illness, but you can take a look at the report on Drexel. But we're up against the hour again, folks. We want to thank folks for listening and, you know, supporting those who checked us out on social media. We appreciate you. Thank you.
You can. We want to thank our engineer today. Thank you, Mike Vito. We want to thank everyone that listens. As Pat said, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can find us on Facebook. Just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Talk radio show here on WWDB, 860 AM out of Philadelphia. See you next week.
Looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a need, bro. Pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero.